Good morning. Turn back in your Bibles now to Mark chapter 10, and I'd like for you to read with me Mark's account of the very same instance that Andrew just read for us, which is Jesus healing a blind beggar on the road to Jericho. Mark chapter 10, let's start reading in verse 46. There it says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way." I want you to imagine this poor blind beggar's life up to this point. From my reading, it appears that he had lost his sight somehow, because at least the way the ESV translates it, he asked to recover his sight. The NET Bible says, "Rabbi, let me see again." And being blind, he was unemployed and resigned to begging by the side of the road. Remember that social safety nets and charitable organizations, as we know them today, didn't exist at this time. There were no optometrists, there was no Braille, no schools for the blind or seeing eye dogs. No one here would undercut the difficulty that a blind person has in today's society, but imagine how much more difficult this man, Bartimaeus' life, would have been during these New Testament times. He would have picked a rather good place to be a beggar by Jericho. And you notice that there are two sites here on the map labeled Jericho. One, which is the Old Testament Jericho of Joshua fame. And one, which is the New Testament Jericho, which by the time Jesus was around had become a palace. There were palaces, pools, gardens, towers, and other structures that seemed to be the winter residence of the Herodians. So they would have been based out of Jerusalem, but they made this New Testament Jericho their Mar-a-Lago of the first century. So here's this blind beggar sitting by the road where wealthy people would have been passing to and from Jerusalem and going beyond. And he asks, when he hears the commotion of the crowd, who it was that was in the crowd. You remember, too, that Jesus himself had been making his way toward Jerusalem. And if you look down in your Bible, just in chapter 11, the next chapter, you'll notice that the events that followed are Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And you'll also recall that within the span of a week, that great fanfare that greeted Jesus upon his arrival at Jerusalem turned into a rioting mob that asked for his crucifixion. Many times in the New Testament, we read about healing faith. Back in Matthew, and I haven't mentioned this yet, but Matthew also records this instance in Matthew chapter 20 about Bartimaeus. But Matthew talks about two blind beggars on the road to Jericho. So Bartimaeus had a friend. But back in chapter 9 of Matthew, there's a different instance in which Jesus heals two blind men. And there, Jesus attributes it to their faith and says, "According to your faith, be it done to you," when he had asked them what they wanted, and they requested to recover their sight. And in verse 30 of Matthew chapter 9, it says, "And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, 'See that no one knows about it.'" But what did they do? Verse 31, "They went away and spread his fame throughout all that district." That was closer to Capernaum, which is up by the Sea of Galilee, which you can't see on the map, but would be somewhere up here. Do you think word might have gotten down to Bartimaeus in Jericho, sitting by the road begging, that Jesus, a few months or perhaps a couple of years earlier, was able to heal two blind beggars? Mark especially highlights persistent faith, and that's one of the takeaways I want us to have from Bartimaeus' example here in Mark chapter 10, is his persistence. Remember when he was shouting and the crowd reacted negatively and told him to stop? He cried out all the more. He was persistent. And that is frequently a theme of Mark's gospel. So what is it that characterized Bartimaeus' faith, and how can we emulate his faith today to be pleasing to God? Well, first of all, I want to point out that Bartimaeus inquired when Andrew read for us in Luke chapter 18, verse 36 says, "And hearing a crowd go by, he inquired what this meant." Again, we don't know for sure that he had heard of the two blind men who had previously been healed in Matthew chapter 9 up near Capernaum. But if he had, do you think he hoped that Jesus, the son of David, might have been in this crowd? All Bartimaeus had to hear was that Jesus of Nazareth was in the crowd before he yells out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." What could Bartimaeus have done in this situation? As he heard the crowd pass by, don't you think he could have been resigned to the fact that he was blind? Nothing he could do and nothing that any human could do about that state. But he was curious. He was inquisitive. We often start our walk being inquisitive about the Bible. We're like sponges and we earnestly seek the truth. We soak up what we're taught. We're searching God's word to better understand his will and how to apply it. But with time, we lose that curiosity. We're no longer inquisitive. If we don't understand something, we're content to let it stay that way. We're content with whatever level of knowledge we've attained, and we stop growing. We're not curious, and we're not inquisitive like Bartimaeus was. One admirable thing about the disciples is that on many occasions when Jesus was teaching crowds and they didn't understand, later they would ask Jesus about what he was talking about. That happened when Jesus taught the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 and verse 9. They didn't understand what he was talking about, and later they asked him, what did it mean? Earlier in Mark chapter 10, at the very first part of that chapter, Jesus was talking about divorce, and in verse 10, there it says, "In the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter." They were curious. They were inquisitive. They wanted to know more. On the opposite end of that, God despises a lack of curiosity, a lack of knowledge. You may remember in Hosea 4, 6, the strong language used there, where God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of what? For lack of knowledge." Haven't you found it to be true that people are knowledgeable about what they're interested in? If you talk with someone for a period of time, you'll quickly find out what it is that they're interested in and what it is that they're knowledgeable about, whether it's current affairs, politics, their job, hobbies, entertainment, or sports. And we're the same way. When we're talking with others, our interests and what we're knowledgeable about will readily reveal themselves. We should be most interested in what actually matters, and that is spiritual matters. From this first episode with Bartimaeus, I ask you, have we lost our curiosity? He inquired. He was curious. Have we lost our inquisitiveness? We know that God responds favorably and generously to honest curiosity, but despises the lack thereof. Let's have a genuine desire to grow in our knowledge of the truth and how best to apply it in our lives. Let's be curious and inquisitive like Bartimaeus was. Second, as I've mentioned briefly and as we've read now twice, he cried out. Have we lost our urgency? It doesn't say that he just cried out. Again, when he was told to be quiet, it says he cried out all the more. So not only was he urgent, but he was persistent. In the NET, as I mentioned earlier, that translation says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. And then when the crowd scolded him to be quiet in verse 48, he shouted all the more. And that term shouted is a strong one because it can be used of an animal cry. So here's Bartimaeus sitting by the side of the road, begging, finding out it's Jesus of Nazareth in the crowd passing by, and he starts to cry out like an animal. Can't you feel the desperation in that? Have you ever felt desperate like that? Desperate and totally unable to fix a problem that you have? And then here's Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the son of David, who asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" You notice, too, how he refers to Jesus. When he asked who was in the crowd, he was told, "Jesus of Nazareth is in the crowd passing by." So the crowd just regarded Jesus as far as where he was from, of Nazareth, where he grew up part of the time. But how did Bartimaeus, this blind beggar, refer to Jesus? He calls him Son of David. He calls him Master. And in Luke and Matthew, he even refers to Jesus as Lord. That phrase, Son of David, is one that, yes, literally means that Jesus was a descendant of King David. We know that from the genealogy we're given in Matthew chapter 1. But there are also many Old Testament verses in Isaiah that imbue a messianic significance to that name, so that by the time the first century rolled around, Son of David was equated with the Messiah. Now, what that Messiah would do was another misunderstanding in the first century, but here, Bartimaeus, upon hearing it was Jesus of Nazareth, now refers to Jesus as the Messiah. You may remember, too, that the Messiah was prophesied to have healing abilities. We know that from verses in the Old Testament like Isaiah 11, Jeremiah 23, among others, and specifically that the Messiah would be able to heal the blind. And you also remember back in Luke chapter 7 when John the Baptist was in prison and sent some of his disciples to question Jesus whether he was the Messiah or not. What was part of the proof that Jesus told John's disciples to go back and share with him in prison? Well, in Luke chapter 7 and verse 22, Jesus says to John's disciples, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard." And what's the first thing he says? "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them." So here Bartimaeus has a faith in who Jesus actually was. Not just Jesus from Nazareth, but Jesus, Son of David. Jesus, the Messiah. Rabbi, an affectionate term meaning master, teacher, and Lord, of course, one worthy of respect and reverence. Did you also notice that when Jesus summoned Bartimaeus to him, he threw off his cloak, as generally thought of as the outer cloak that he might have spread out on the road to receive alms from people? He threw aside his cloak and he sprang up and ran to Jesus. Bartimaeus was urgent. Not only was he urgent, he was persistent. Even when they had told him to be quiet, he kept on shouting for Jesus. He was used to begging for money, which is a humble way to live your life. To be blind and begging for money, it doesn't get much lower than that. But now when Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" he begged Jesus for what he really needed. An act of mercy. We have to be beggars like Bartimaeus. We have to humble ourselves like he was humble and beg not for money, but for mercy. We must continually humble ourselves before our Creator and urgently, persistently beg him for mercy. It's not a pleasant thought, but there will come a time when begging for mercy will do no good. You remember in Luke chapter 16 and verse 24, what the rich man said to Abraham? Luke 16, 30, 24, sorry. "And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish and in this flame.'" So it's a somber point, and it's a scary thought, but there will come a time when one will beg for mercy but not receive mercy. We can become complacent. We can feel no need for urgency. We can lose our persistence, and in so doing, not serve God in a way that pleases him. We can become like the Christians in Laodicea, about whom Jesus says in Revelation 3:15, "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say in verse 17, 'I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing,' not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." So not having a sense of urgency about changing our lives, molding ourselves, be pleasing to God is a big problem. But there's another problem which can be equally damaging, and that is not being persistent in our walk with God. That's part of what Paul was gently rebuking the Christians in Corinth for in 2 Corinthians 8, where they had started to talk about taking up that collection for the needy saints in Jerusalem, but they hadn't followed through. They weren't persistent, and they did not persevere in that effort. And so that's why in verses 10 and 11 of 2 Corinthians 8, Paul says there, "And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have." How many Bible classes have we sat through, or how many sermons have we listened to where after that experience, after that time, there's been no change in our lives, where we stepped out of this building, stepped out of that Bible study, and walked right back into our way of life without changing our lives for the better according to how God wants it to be? Let's make sure we are eagerly seeking God's will and then urgently and persistently molding our lives to better serve God and others. Let's be urgent. Let's be persistent, just like Bartimaeus was. And finally, Bartimaeus followed Jesus. Did you notice that in Mark chapter 10 and verse 52, what we read a few minutes ago? After healing Bartimaeus, giving him his sight back, Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. And again, where was Jesus going? Jesus was walking 15 miles west toward Jerusalem, where he was going to be crucified in a matter of days. Bartimaeus not only followed Jesus, but you notice that he praised God. He gave God the glory for being healed, and that also caused the crowd to praise God and give God glory as well for that miracle. We don't know for sure about Bartimaeus' story after the end of Mark 10, just that he followed Jesus. But just imagine if Bartimaeus, now being able to see, walked and followed Jesus in this crowd right into Jerusalem. Imagine what Bartimaeus saw over the next week. Imagine that he stayed in Jerusalem and what he might have seen over the next couple of months. Imagine what Bartimaeus might have been part of in the following years. It's actually been suggested, and we don't know this for a fact, so take this with a grain of salt, that the reason why Mark names Bartimaeus, as opposed to just referring to him as a blind beggar, is because he would have been known to Mark's audience. The early readers of the Gospel of Mark might have said, "Hey, I know Bartimaeus. This is his origin story. This is when he became a disciple of Jesus." If that's true, isn't it a wonderful thought to think that Bartimaeus continued to follow Jesus and continued being his disciple? Bartimaeus had the appropriate response to Jesus. You remember in John 1, Jesus is referred to as the Word. So here is Bartimaeus coming into contact with Jesus and having a great response, glorifying God, following Jesus, becoming one of his disciples. And I want to, with just the last few minutes we have left, make a parallel to the parable of the sower, mainly in Matthew chapter 13. If you want to turn there, not that we're going to read it and the explanation, but just to skim your eyes over those verses and remind yourselves of what's said there. But I just want you to regard these different soils as alternate possibilities for what might have happened to Bartimaeus and alternate possibilities for what might happen to us if our faith is not like his, if we don't become a disciple of Jesus and we lose our way. First, there are the seed, according to verse 4 in Matthew chapter 13, the seeds that fell on the path, the birds come and devour them. And then in verse 19, this is equated with those who hear the word, do not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. So that peace does not understand can be equated with a lack of curiosity. Remember, we will seek out to understand and we will seek out to know what we're interested in. In verses 5 and 6, other seeds fell on the rocky ground. When the sun rose, they were scorched and they withered away. This is equated in verses 20 and 21 with others who hear the word, receive it with joy, yet have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. So yes, initially there is urgency, there is change, there's growth. But what's lacking? Persistence. perseverance through the difficulties and the trials. Go down now to verse 7 in Matthew 13. Other seeds fell among the thorns. The thorns grew up and choked them. And in verse 22, Jesus, as he's explained the parable, says, "These are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." So instead of following Jesus, this would be us going back to our former way of life, caring too much about the world and the concerns thereof. We, in effect, become beggars by the side of the road, having forgotten the great salvation that's been provided to us by Jesus. And then finally, in verse 8, other seed fell on good soil and produced grain. And in verse 23, these are those who hear the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. That's how Bartimaeus responded to Jesus. That's how our faith must motivate us to respond to Jesus. He did not go back to sitting by the side of the road begging for money. We must not return to our old ways of living once we have been redeemed by Jesus' blood. Our faith, which should be a healing, saving faith, just like Bartimaeus' was, must continue to grow and flourish. So let's be true disciples like Bartimaeus. In conclusion, let's reread from Mark chapter 10 with what we've discussed now and note Bartimaeus' urgency, his persistence, his inquisitiveness, and his desire to follow Jesus. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with the disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Is your faith a healing, saving faith like Bartimaeus' was? Are you curious like Bartimaeus was? Are you urgent and persistent like he was? And are you following Jesus as a true disciple like Bartimaeus was? If there's a way that we can help you spiritually attain to that kind of faith, let that need be made known as we stand and sing to encourage you.